You're welcome to take a seat. It's wonderful to sing to our great, great God. So I want to just, we're starting a new series. It's called Fit for Godliness. I'll do a little bit of an introduction, and then we'll get into that over the next few weeks. Last week, I shared a word called right. You are the right person at the right time at the right place. I really want to encourage you, if you missed that, to go listen to that. I didn't say it last week, so let me say it this week. And we'll do a little bit of it later in the service as well. Prophetic words do not take me from the pit to the throne. Does that make sense? So often we find ourselves in a difficult space. Someone comes and they share a word with us, or we open the Bible and we read something encouraging, a promise from God, and we expect now that suddenly we will just move from this position to the heights of glory. No. The word is there to encourage you to continue to fight as you journey towards that. Does that make sense? So prophetic words don't just move me from one place to another. They give me the tools. They give me the encouragement. So when Paul writes to Timothy, he says that you need to wage war with what? With the prophetic words that were spoken over your life. So when you read in the Bible and there's promises, or you listen to or reminded of last week's message, what is that for? It is for you to be able to wage war so that you can achieve that which God has called you for. Okay, fit for godliness. The key verse that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks is 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, which says, train yourself towards godliness. And in the Amplified, it explains that. It says, keeping yourself spiritually fit. Now, if you're an athlete or you want to be good at anything, there's certain skills and certain disciplines that you have to look at. If we just look at an athlete, you've got to look at your diet. What you eat and what you don't eat. Hydration. What do you drink? When do you drink it? Supplements. Exercise. And when we look at exercise, there's the cardio exercise for your heart and lungs. There's the strength exercise, the weight training. There's mobility exercises. You've got to stretch. And if you want to be a top athlete and you don't stretch, you're going to run into trouble. You can do all the other things. You can run. You can lift the weights, but if you don't stretch, you're missing one of the disciplines, and you're not going to achieve your goal. You've got to recover. You've got to sleep. If you're getting older, there's ice baths involved. Have you ever seen that? The rugby players, they climb into these ice baths afterwards. Why? Because they enjoy being cold? No. Because they want their muscles to recover so that they can continue performing at that level. Okay, so I want to show you a picture, and maybe, I'm running ahead of myself. Picture is coming up. That word train is the Greek word from where we get the word gymnasium or gymnastics. And it simply means that, to exercise or to discipline yourself. It's as simple as that. So when Paul writes to Timothy and he says, train yourself to be godly, train yourself to be walking in godliness, you've got to be spiritually fit. What he's literally talking about is exactly what you think he's talking about. You've got to go to the gym. You've got to exercise. You've got to work on certain things so that you can achieve that. Now the picture that I promised you. That poor little boy, let's call him Peter, is being forced by his mother to do his piano lessons, practice his scales. If you don't know what scales are, ask Lawrence afterwards what scales are. Lawrence, where are you? Do you still do your scales? Now and then. That's why he struggled this morning. He didn't do his scales. And this boy is just sitting there, and the discipline is no longer fun. The discipline has no enjoyment in it. Why? Because the discipline has no prospect. It has no hope. It has no dream attached to it. What if in that moment, God in his grace sends an angel to come sit next to Peter on that chair on next to the piano. And in a moment, he opens Peter's mind and he shows them a vision. And the vision looks like this. Carnegie Hall, the top place to play if you're a classical musician. And in a moment, he sees himself playing in this venue, maybe 30, 40 years from now. And as he finished playing, the audience stands up and they applaud this incredible performance. Maybe now Peter will have a little bit more enthusiasm in playing the scales and in practicing. A famous football coach in America said the following: the job of the coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. Does that make sense? No one wants to run one more lap. No one wants to do one more push-up. No one wants to practice their scales one more time. But the job of the coach is to say, you have got to do this. Why? Because I know what you are dreaming of. And for you to achieve that goal, you've got to do this. So let's be clear. What is the goal? The goal is godliness. The goal is not to go to the gym. The goal is to become like God, to be godly. And the word, quite simply, just means that. It means to be conformed to the character of God in your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, and your actions. Simply put, being godly means being like God. In the New Testament, we call it Christ-likeness, being like Christ. Opening the Word of God and reading about how Jesus lived, what he did, what he said, how he acted. And then we put bracelets on our arm and it says, what would Jesus do? That is being godly. It's being like Jesus, acting like him, thinking like him, and interacting with people like him. I want to take you right back to Genesis chapter 3. Can you remember the argument, the temptation? No, God didn't say you will die. Don't worry about that. God knows if you eat of this fruit, you will be like him, knowing good and evil. Why did Satan use that line of attack? Because within each one of us, there is a desire to be like God. That's how God made us. God made us in his image. That image was distorted through sin. But somewhere deep inside us, there is this desire to look like him, to act like him. The thing that Satan did is he offered them a shortcut. You don't have to do the push-ups. You don't have to run one more lap. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fast. You don't have to meditate on the word. Just eat this fruit. The quick rich scheme. Paul writes in Romans, for God knows his people and knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. That's the goal. 1 John 3 verse 2 talks about, we sang about it this morning, one day when we'll meet Jesus. The last verses of that last song. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know that we will be like him. Why? Because we will see him as he really is. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefit in this life and in the life to come. So this is not just for future. We will not, obviously, when we see him, then we will reach the fullness of looking like him. But the goal up until that point is that every day we look a little bit more like him. See, and what we do is the following. We get on the scale, and it says a number that we don't like, but we don't talk about that. And then we go and we eat a chocolate, and we get back on the scale, and guess what? It says exactly the same. Am I right? Or I climb on the scale and I don't like what it says, so I say to myself, I'm not going to eat the chocolate. And I don't eat the chocolate, and I get on the scale and it says exactly the same number. And we begin to think to ourselves, this is not working. You see, we don't lose weight by eating or not eating one chocolate, and we don't gain weight by eating one chocolate. It's by doing it again and again and again and again. And if 10 years later we get on the scale, we see the chocolates for the last 10 years. Or if we discipline ourselves and we eat right and we train and we do what we should, we see the benefit of that over a period of time. There is benefit now for being godly. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, again Paul writes, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. This is the life of a Christian, growing to become more and more like Him. Colossians 3 and verse 10. It says, put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and as you become like Him. If I knew all your names, I would stand still at each of your name and call out your name and say, this is who you're supposed to be. You are supposed to become more and more like Him. Are there days that you slip and you eat the chocolate? Yes, that's fine. But are there days that you remember and you train yourself to become more and more like Him? And if you continue to do that, there is benefit in that. Donald S. Whiteney wrote a book on spiritual disciplines, and he says the following. I maintain that the only road to Christian maturity and godliness, and then he explains, a biblical term synonymous with Christ-likeness and holiness. So the only road to godliness passes through the practice of spiritual disciplines. There's no other way to get there. So Paul writes to Timothy and he says, train yourself towards godliness. Train yourself towards godliness. But and I want to stress this point by just saying the following quickly. Why does Usain Bolt go to the gym? Does he go to the gym to go to the gym? He goes to the gym so that he can be the fastest man on earth. Does that make sense? Why do I read my Bible? Do I read my Bible to read my Bible? Do I fast to fast? No. I do these disciplines. Why? Because they will get me to my goal, and my goal is to be godly, to look like Jesus. Why else does Messi go to the gym? And you'll notice I did not put Ronaldo on here for a very good reason. Messi is the man. Why does Messi go to the gym? To build big muscles? No, to score goals. To lift the World Cup. To have people say that he is the greatest of all time. Why do we engage in the spiritual disciplines? Because we understand the goal. And the goal is that we will look like Jesus. Last one, Federer, second last one. Why does Federer go to the gym? Also to hit the ball. To be stronger than his partner. Why does Jamie Oliver go to the gym? Because that pan is heavy and he has to smile on TV. You see, there's always a goal. There's a reason why we engage in these disciplines. And yes, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult to wake up early and to pray, and while we're praying, we fall asleep. And there's always challenges because there's other things that seem more important. or more urgent rather, they're not important, they're urgent. And they steal our attention, and they cause us to drift away. And we miss one day and it's okay, we don't put on weight. And we miss 2 days, it's fine, we don't put on weight. But after a month, spiritually something doesn't feel right. I'm no longer fit for godliness. I'm no longer in the right place. So the goal is never to focus on the disciplines. So when Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, it's why? It is because they majored on the disciplines. They knew the Bible off by heart. They told everyone that they were fasting. They told everyone how much they gave and how much they prayed. But were they godly? No. Because they got stuck in the gym, not understanding why they are there. I want to quickly explain this. What is the difference between righteousness and godliness? Okay, so righteousness is when God comes to me, and because of the blood of Jesus Christ, He changes me legally. Legally, He changes who I am. I'm no longer a sinner. He comes to me and He says, now you are righteous. You are in right standing with God. Another word for that is justification. Romans 5 verse 9 says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus, we have certainty that He will save us from condemnation. So when God comes and He justifies me just as if I've never sinned, why He declares me righteous, right standing with Him, that is positionally. Let me use an example. It's like Messi at the age of, I think at the age of 12 or something, he went to one of these famous clubs in Europe and he began to train with them. Why did they pick him at the age of 12? Because they saw the incredible talent in this boy. But it's not talent that got him to where he was. Talent opened the door. Talent gave him an opportunity. Talent put him in the right place at the right time with the right coaches and the right opportunities. And now he had to eat right, watch what he drank. He had to do the exercises. He had to get into the ice bath. I think he probably does that now. What is godliness? Godliness is something that I have to do. Godliness doesn't fall onto me. I don't accept Jesus and now I become godly. Those of you who can remember that far back, can you remember that you used to swear a little bit before you became a Christian? Can you remember that after you got saved and you were justified and you were made righteous with God because of the blood of Jesus, every now and then a word would slip out again? And you had to discipline yourself. You had to say to yourself, this is not how a Christian sounds like. This is not what a Christian looks like. And you had to discipline yourself. You had to come to church. You had to read the Bible. You had to pray. And as you did those things, you were transformed from someone who had the natural ability to someone who's a great athlete. Someone who is righteous into someone who now is righteous and godly. Someone who looks like a Christian. So what are these spiritual disciplines? How do we engage in them? So number one, spiritual disciplines are personal and group disciplines. So there are certain times when we need to pick up the Bible at home and read it. But we also need to come to church. We also need to come to a connect group or a course. And we've got to discuss the Word and talk about the Word. Jesus, it said of Him that often He withdrew to a quiet place and He prayed by Himself. But it also says of Jesus, on the Sabbath He was in the synagogue, as was His habit. So there's certain disciplines that He practiced on His own, but He also practiced with other people. When he was in a synagogue, they read the Bible, they read the Word of God, they discussed the Word of God together, they prayed together, they worshiped together, but he also did that privately. So these disciplines, you should engage in them privately, but also corporatively, as the occasion presents. These spiritual disciplines are activities, not attitudes. So they are not character traits. They are not giftings from God. They're not the fruit of the Spirit. So for example, fasting is a spiritual discipline. Joy is not a spiritual discipline. And now let's begin to put these things together. Why do I fast? Do I fast just to fast? No. I fast because I want to be like God. How's God? Part of the character of God is joy. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's part of who He is. Part of His nature. And guess what? As I engage in the discipline, the result is that my life is filled with joy or with peace or with self-control. But the discipline is something that I need to do. I need to grow. I need to train myself. I need to discipline myself. Spiritual disciplines are biblical, or put another way, the spiritual disciplines that we're going to look at comes from the Bible. Now, there might be certain things in your life that work for you. And I don't discourage that. I'm going to encourage you to continue with that. But let me put it this way. Physical exercise, whether it be running or maybe gardening, is not a spiritual discipline. It might be part of who you are, and it might encourage you and rejuvenate you, and it might be good for you, but it's not a spiritual discipline. Does that make sense? So I cannot say, you might meditate on the Word of God and that works for you, but what I do is I garden and that works for me. Or I have this hobby and that works for me. Because those hobbies and gardening or whatever is not biblically in the Bible saying these are the things that we need to do to train ourselves to become godly. I say again, it might be something that works for you. For stress relief or physical exercise is always good. But they are not substitutes for engaging in spiritual disciplines. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 7. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? And then Paul says, so run to win. So now, is he talking about a race where there's 1,000 athletes and only one can win? How can he tell 1,000 guys that they must all win? If the goal is godliness, if the race that we are running is to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus, to look more like Him, then yes, we all can win. He says, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win the prize that fades away. But we do it for an eternal price. And then he says, so I run with purpose in every step. I know why I am running. I know why I am training. I know why I am disciplining myself. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. You see, spiritual disciplines is something that there can be a danger in when we neglect them. There's a danger in neglecting spiritual disciplines. Not that the spiritual discipline will get me to heaven. We are clear in that. We are saved through grace. It's an act of faith. That we extend our faith to God, He saves us, and He justifies us, He makes us righteous because of the blood of Jesus. But here's the thing. People that are on their way to heaven discipline themselves. They train themselves to be godly. And there is a danger that I can fall off or get lost, because that is the things that I should be engaging as a Christian. And if I don't engage in them, it can become problematic, or there's the danger of that. There's a freedom in embracing spiritual disciplines. That sounds strange, because we see disciplines as restrictive, as taking away the fun. We don't have time, and I didn't get it ready, but if you want to go look at this, there's these incredible videos. It's called Hearing the Song for the First Time. And then they have musicians, they're mostly pianists. And then they say, okay, that song I've heard, that one I've heard. I've never heard this song before. And then what they do is, in their ears, they have the vocals and they have the drums. They take all the instruments away. And they say to these guys, play this song that they've never heard. And you know what? Because they did the scales, because they practiced, now suddenly they have the freedom to just let those fingers run. And they do amazing things. They never heard the song. You see, there is freedom that comes when I discipline myself. Why? Because when I discipline myself, I position myself to be with God. And with God, there's freedom. With God, there's joy. With God, there's expression. With God, there's creativity. How does those things come? They come by practicing and engaging in these disciplines. And lastly, there's an invitation to all of us to engage in these disciplines. And over the next few weeks, we'll unpack some of them. Some weeks we'll do two, some weeks we'll just do one. But I want to invite you to come and run with me. I want to use the words of Paul that says, I'm going to skip that. There's some things you can go look at under notes. I want to say like Paul, let's run to win. Let's run. And if you read the Bible once a week, what if you do it two times a week? If you read your Bible 5 minutes a day, what if you begin to read it 10 minutes a day? What if you begin to discipline yourself? Not for the sake of reading through the Bible in a year or having this badge or this honor or something. It's not the goal. But as I read the Bible, I get transformed. I begin to look more and more like Jesus. As I pray, what happens? I begin to hear God's heart. I love the Psalms. I love David. I've said this a number of times. I'll say it again. I love it when he goes to God and he says, oh God, I'm upset. God, I'm furious. This is unacceptable. How long will this carry on? My words, a little bit of a paraphrase, but go read it. It's in the Bible. And then a moment later, something shifts. Why? Because when he poured out his heart to God, what happened is he got to be with God. And suddenly now he can hear God speaking to him. And now suddenly the conversation has shifted. And now the conversation is, God, you are amazing. Some of the songs we sang this morning. How can it be that you just continue to be good to me after all of this time? You are an amazing God. What happened? David disciplined himself to be with God through the discipline of prayer, through the discipline of worship. And as that happened, He got transformed. He got changed. And the man that walked into his presence and the man that walked out of his presence is two different people. He's changed and transformed into the image of God. I do want to go back. I said I'll let you do it on your own, but let me close with reading these verses to you. 2 Peter 1:5-8. And in view of this, what is that? Just to jump back to verse number 3. His divine power has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. He's positioned us. We've got the natural talent, if you want to use the analogy of an athlete. But then he says, in view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. There's some action that you need to take. You've got to work at it. Then he says, supplement to your faith. Other translation says, add to your faith. So add to your faith generous provision of moral excellence. And to moral excellence, add knowledge. And to that, add self-control. And to self-control, add patient endurance. And patient endurance, add godliness, brotherly kindness, love and affection. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you add, the more you allow God to work in your life. And how do you allow God to work in your life? By putting yourself in the right place. How do you put yourself in the right place? By practicing the spiritual disciplines. And we're going to spend some time, like I said, chatting about that. But for now, let's run to win. Let's run with purpose. You want to stand with me as we close in prayer? Father, I pray that as we go from this place, you would continue to work in our hearts. I pray, Father, that you would continue to water this word and the seed that was sown in our hearts this morning. I pray that in this day and over the week, there would be a stirring in our hearts, a stirring in our spirits to say, but I want to train myself to become godly. I want to be spiritually fit. And I pray, Father, that within each of us there would be a cry rising up saying, Holy Spirit, come and teach us. Come and teach us how to do these things so that we can be transformed into the image of Christ. Father, we pray that as a congregation in this season, you will make us fit for godliness. And we pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.